Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here tonight. Kind of personally attached to this place. But if you could, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18. Verse 1, it says, The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And here tonight, I'd like just to preach to you for a little while on from marred to marvelous. Could you stretch your hands this way and ask God to touch me here tonight? We all are somewhat familiar with pottery and probably somewhat familiar with how they make it. But back in these days, they had two wheels, one on the top where they put the clay and one on the bottom that they used to kick to get the motion and to get it moving, to get it spinning to where they could get the clay going. And then the potter would take and he would form it with his hands and have the water and the clay and form it with his hands and take it and put it in the oven and bake it and make it hard. But here tonight, I'd like to just point you out a few things from this chapter, this verse, a selection that I've read. And first of all, why don't we look at the master potter? We all know that it takes somebody that is well accomplished and well learned to do something like this. In the old days, they had guilds where people were known to be able to do this, and they were licensed to do such a thing, to build pottery. And the potter in this chapter, in this verse, is one that has a greater ability than all. This man, this one who is the potter, is the master of all potters. He has a higher ability than any potter in this world has ever had. He has a deeper understanding of what he is doing than any potter has ever thought they knew. He knows what he's doing. He is our heavenly Father. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8, it says, But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. God the Father is the master potter of this universe. This world was framed by him. Whenever he, probably I'd say the first thing this potter did was he didn't start with something small, but he started with the whole world. And he set that big mass of clay because the Bible says that the earth was without form and void. So it was just a big clay ball or big dirt ball. And he set it on his wheel and got it to spinning. And before long, you had rivers and mountains and oceans and canyons and valleys and everything formed out of this beautiful, and now it's a beautiful ball. But I guess he just left it spinning there because it's still spinning today. But God started with this world. He formed the world out of nothing. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God started with this world, and he created it a place for us. And when of necessity, this world would obey him. You see, God is not just, don't just have the power over the clay like a normal potter would, but he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And whenever the mankind was sinful and wasn't going to change, he caused the flood of Noah. He has this world in the palm of his hands, like the old song that we used to sing when we was children. We still sing too, but he's got the whole world in his hands. And that's how it is today. He caused the flood of Noah and destroyed all of mankind except for those eight souls in the ark. And then whenever Moses came against the Red Sea, that master potter just had caused the winds to blow and move the water out of the way. And the children of God walked across on dry land. And whenever Korah started a rebellion, God just caused his pottery to crack a little bit. And Korah fell down into the crack, and he got rid of that rebellion and got rid of that trouble that was coming against him. And also it says that he created the heavens. And in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22 it says, "It is he that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." He has his power over the heavens. He just took them like a curtain, just changed them and moved them around, set them up there. He has the power over that. He also formed man. The Bible says that he said, "Let us make man in our image." And he took and he formed man out of the dust of the ground. Just like a master potter just took and formed a man. He created man to commune with him. And Moses, I could say he was just a normal man. He was a meek man. The Bible says he was the meekest man in the world, I believe it says. And God took him and molded his life and made him what he was. And also he took Elisha, who was just plowing the fields, and molded and made him what he was. God has the power to change whatever the situation is. And no matter how big the problem is, God is the master potter. This whole world is in his hands. He has the power over everything that may come against you. No matter what it is, Jesus Christ and the Father have the power to change it. God has the power to change this world. God has the power to change no matter what the situation is. He has the power in his hands. He has this world sitting on his wheel, and it's in his control. And no matter what comes against you, no matter what the problem is, he is the master potter, and he has the power to change it. I remember hearing reading a little story about this little boy that was making a man out in his sandbox. And he had it pretty much all finished except for this one little item. He didn't have the arm finished. Well, his mom came out there and she said, "Son, you got to come with me to the store real fast. I can't leave you here." So the boy got up and left. Went with his mom to the store. And while they was walking around in the store, he looked over and he saw this man who only had one arm. And after a while, he just sat there and stared at this man. Eventually, he walked over to him and he said, "Now, why did you get up before I was finished with you?" And that's how many people are today. They get up off the wheel before God's finished with them. God has you sitting there trying to do something with your life, and you jump up and take off running. Humanity, throughout all ages and climes, has been defective in moral judgment, in moral affections, and in moral conduct. Mankind just wants to do what they want to do. They don't want somebody else fiddling with their situation. They don't want anybody getting into their problems or trying to tell them what to do. And that's what that man did. That's what, just doing what they want to do. And we can be marred. That's the second thing here in this verse. The marred pottery is caused by disobedience. And sin is disobedience against God. And sin is marring against you. Sin is a marring against mankind. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." You know, many times the devil will tell you that sin is wonderful. They'll show you advertisements and all different kinds of things about these really good-looking people smoking cigarettes and these really cool-looking people chewing tobacco and doing all these different things. Sports heroes doing horrible things. But whenever it comes down to the end of it, you've got them sitting in a wheelchair, getting wheeled into the hospital because they got throat cancer and they did this and that and all these other different things. Or they're sitting in a hospital bed with lung cancer because sin mars you. Sin changes you, and it is not a good change. It's a bad change. Sin mars you. Whenever you get off of that wheel, when you get out from His hands, you will be marred by sin. Also, you can be marred by sickness. Whenever, of course, sickness is something that's going to happen to everybody because of Adam's sin. But, you know, Jesus Christ is the answer for cancer. Jesus Christ is the answer for anything that comes against you. No matter what the sickness is, there's sicknesses all throughout this world, but there is one who is bigger than that. Also, other people's sins can come against you and mar you. Stuff that people have said against you. Stuff that caused you to be sorrowful and to be discouraged. But there is one who has a marvelous power. In Isaiah chapter 53, see this verse, you may be marred. But there was one who was marred, one who left his beauty to become marred, that you might be changed from being marred to being something beautiful. You see, it says here in Isaiah 53 in verse 2, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Sounds to me like he's marred. And also says in another place that they couldn't even recognize him. He was beaten so bad. Jesus Christ was marred by mankind so that we might become beautiful. The Bible says that when we see him, we shall be made like him. And also whenever that trumpet shall sound, we shall be changed and become like him. But you know, that sorrow, that discouragement that may come against you. Here in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." When that devil comes against you and says, you always have that in front of your face. You always have that sorrow, that grief, that problem. It says here, "Surely he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows." Now that "borne our griefs," I know whenever I'd see my brothers come out of somewhere and they'd be carrying something, they'd be all bent over carrying something, and I've always been significantly larger than them. So I would, still am. I would go over and get that from them. I would bear. That's what Christ did. He bore our griefs. Whenever you're bore down by that, he can bear your griefs. But he don't just bear your griefs. It says that he has carried our sorrows. That seems to me like he takes it away. He don't just carry it there beside of you, but he takes it away from you. And you don't have to see that anymore. You don't have to be faced by that problem anymore. He has carried our sorrows away. Says he is acquainted with grief. The Bible says that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what we're going through, and he can touch us here today, touch us here tonight, and change you. Whenever you are bound by sin, we are marred by our sin, he can change that. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know, when that devil comes against you and says, you can't be freed from that sin. Brother Pittman told us here today, the Bible says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow." Jesus Christ has that power. He was marred so that he can remove that sin. You also can have the sickness, that marring of sickness, removed from your body. For it says here, "And with his stripes we are healed." He has the power to remove that sickness. And We see throughout the Bible, many in the New Testament even, there's many different people who was marred. Peter, he was, all he could do was stick his foot in his mouth. All he could do was say stuff that was wrong and do things that was against the Bible and just be a traitor to God, a traitor to Jesus Christ. But whenever he got changed by Jesus, whenever Jesus Christ was marred for him, he was changed to something marvelous. He was changed to a preacher of the gospel. That woman with the issue of blood, all she had to do was touch Jesus. And she was changed from being marred to something marvelous. But this is not just we are not created a vessel just for nothing. There is a marvelous purpose for this vessel. The Bible says that the promise of the Father, you shall be endued with power from on high. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with that fire, that Holy Ghost baptism. And also, we don't just keep this power. We don't just keep this filling. But a vessel, you don't just fill it up with water and let it sit there. But a vessel carries that water to somebody else. And we are filled to bear this water to somebody else. To bear this gospel message to somebody else. Come on, Brother Shed. Why don't we all raise our hands and praise the Lord for His power.